This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're going to spend most of this hour talking about getting lost and why we humans are so good at it. Psychologist Colin Ellard will join us, and we have an email challenge for you. Tell us how you got lost and found. The email address is talk@npr.org. But first, we begin in Afghanistan with NPR foreign correspondent Jackie Northam. She's been in the Helmand River Valley in southern Afghanistan with the U.S. Marines, who launched an offensive there last week. If you have a question about what they've done, what they hope to accomplish, and how it's going so far, give us a call. The phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. And Jackie Northam joins us now from our bureau in Kabul. Jackie, nice to have you on the program today.
Hi, Neil.
And what was the purpose of this offensive in Helmand province?
Well, really, more than anything else, it's just try to clear the Taliban and other Islamist insurgents out of that whole area. You know, this has been a stronghold for many years now. It's a huge opium area as well, which has provided the Taliban with tens of millions of dollars every year. They've not been able to dislodge them. You know, the U.S. were in there in a short stint before, and the British have been in there. They've not been able to do this. So this really was an onslaught. 4,000 Marines have just sort of swarmed into this whole area. It's 10,000 square miles, it's about the size of New Jersey and that, and really just take back towns and villages.
And how is it going thus far?
You know, here's the thing, is that it's gone remarkably smooth. You talk to the commanding general and he says they were expecting a little bit of a backlash, but there's really been nothing. There's been sporadic fighting, that type of thing. They've been able to move again into these towns and villages. They've been able to set up outposts so they can start dealing with the local leaders, that type of thing. And there's been a little pushback from the Taliban. But that's actually part of the Taliban trademark. You know, they'll just blend into the population. They'll go into the hills or into the river valleys or whatever like that, take off their black turbans, put down their arms and just wait it out. And normally what happens is the Marines come in or the special forces come in or whatever have you, and they do an attack and then they leave and then the Taliban come back. This time the Marines say it's different. They're going to stay, they're going to hold, and then they say they're going to build. And so, you know, once the Taliban realizes that, they predict that the Taliban will come back fighting. And again, you know, you're talking about the river, Helmand River Valley. This is a huge area for opium. It's a lot of money for the Taliban. One doesn't suspect that they're going to give that area up easy without a fight. So they're thinking it's a few days on now. Now they're going to see some real pushback from the Taliban.
And you've talked in your reports about trying to win over the towns and the population. These people make their living from those poppy fields. What's going to happen to that?
Well, they do. I mean, there's always, you know, you talk to a lot of American or Western aid workers that go in there and say, really, you know, the people here, the farmers here would rather be growing wheat or pomegranates or whatever have you rather than this opium, and the Taliban make them do it and that type of thing. But, you know, fact of the matter is the farmers, the people in these areas are so intimidated. All they've ever had over the past three decades is, you know, foreigners coming in, whether it be the Taliban or the Russians or the Americans, telling them what to do. So they're at a loss. They've got the Marines in there right now that have taken control of these areas saying, okay, we're going to provide security, trust us. At the same time, they remember, well, you know, the Taliban are just back over the hills there, so they're at a loss. And, you know, the military officials here say, we understand that wariness. We understand that there's a real trust deficit here and that it's going to take time, but somehow we have to push ahead. We're here for the long term. Let's try and push ahead. So it's, you know, they're trying to organize these town hall meetings, these so-called shuras and that type of thing. In some cases, they've got a lot of people showing up talking about the grievances, what they want. In other areas, nobody's shown up. They do not have that trust yet.
What's going to happen, though, to the crop when it comes time to harvest? Will the Marines be there to watch the farmers collect the opium? And what's going to happen to the opium?
Right. Well, you know, we still got a few months on for that one. I mean, Richard Holbrooke, the ambassador to this area, has said recently that the U.S. is no longer into the eradication business at all. This is, you know, we can't alienate the farmers who are making money off this stuff. We have to find a different way to do it. So at this point, it's a little unsure. They're going to have to, somehow, they've got a little bit of time lag right now to convince the people that, look, there's enough security. You can wipe out this opium and, you know, put in wheat or whatever have you. But at the same time, again, the Taliban, one suspects, and the military commanders here are saying they're going to come roaring back. And it's not, you know, it's not this full force. It's what it is. It's an insurgency. So there's going to be hit-and-run operations, IEDs, and that type of thing. But certainly, you know, they are going to see an uptick in violence in the next little while.
NPR's Jackie Northam with us from Kabul. She's just back from the Helmand River Valley, where 4,000 Marines swarmed in last week in the largest helicopter assault in the Marine Corps history since Vietnam. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to get a question in about what the plan is, how it's going, or email us, talk@npr.org. Paul's on the line calling from Long Island.
Hey, Neil. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, is this part of a new plan as far as Obama's concerned, or is this just happen to coincide with his administration?
This is definitely part of his new plan. This is the big push. You know, he wanted to bring in what nobody ever here uses the word surge. They call it augmentation or the buildup or whatever, because surge denotes, you know, Iraq and that type of thing. This is Obama's war right now, if you like, and this is part of it. They want to go in big and they want to go in strong and they want to show that they're going to do something here, because there's a lot riding on this. There's this fatigue within the American population that how much more money and how much more lives are we going to, is the U.S. going to spend in Afghanistan? So they want to come up big and they want to show it. The other thing that's going to happen here in a couple of months is the elections. And they're hoping, the administration is hoping privately that this will show the American public that, look, we are making progress here. They've got elections off, and that in order for those elections to take place, they need security. And that's a big part of this Helmand operation right now, is if they can secure the areas, people will come out and vote. That'll somehow placate the American population that, yes, this effort is worth it.
Okay, and I just had one more follow-up question, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, please.
I was wondering, if, you know, when Obama first took over, they said that, you know, he's taken over George Bush's war. Is this kind of a turning point, at least politically, to say that, you know, Obama's saying this is my war now?
Neil, I defer you, but yes, I would say I would say that this is his war now. He's actually captured it, and we've been talking about this over the past little while. In other words, Obama came in, you know, his campaign and that, he was seen somehow as being a little bit soft on national security and that type of thing. By capturing this war, by making this his war, this somehow states that, yes, he does understand that this is, you know, this is important, that he is a national security kind of guy, and he has taken on this war. At the same time, he's really only devoted, they've put a cap on the number of troops that they're willing to spend in Afghanistan now. 17,000, they added 4,000 more, 21,000, and it's very clear that this is going to hold at this number until you can convince us that we really need more. So he's in there for the fight, but we're not sure if it's going to accelerate much more than this.
Paul, thanks very much for the call.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Jackie, you mentioned questions about how much more money the American people are willing to spend on Afghanistan and how many more lives. Well, one of the things we're told is that this strategy of putting, trying to protect the population and setting up these small outposts, well, at least initially, it's going to be more expensive in lives.
Well, indeed it is, because when you create these outposts, what they do not want to do is go into an area like they've done into Helmand and start fortifying a post that they've taken, a small village or whatever have you, start sandbagging everything else like that. In fact, it's complete reverse. What they're doing is they're going out and they're doing foot patrols. Patrolling is the wrong word. What they're doing is they're going out and they're meeting the local leaders. They're trying to convince the people that, look, you know, we're on your side and that type of thing. And, of course, you're making yourself vulnerable, you know, to attacks or to any sort of retaliation that you like. So, yeah, there is going to be that, you know, the chance that we are going to, that the U.S. is going to lose more lives in this. And certainly putting yourself out where you are a huge Taliban area and a ferocious Taliban area as well, there are going to be more lives expended. Having said all that, you know, you've got this huge operation in Helmand, and it's actually in over the last 24 hours, you've seen 7 U.S. soldiers lost in areas other than Helmand, in areas that are, you know, just as volatile, but don't have the focus, you know, the Marine focus that you're seeing here in Helmand or in Helmand. And so, you know, it's hard to say. Everybody's vulnerable here. You know, you're putting in, an extra 21,000 troops. They're going to be lives lost.
Let's get another caller in. Mike's on the line. Mike calling us from Oklahoma City.
My question was, as far as this the surge of troops in Afghanistan, is this actually a means to an end for the war in Afghanistan, or is it more, you know, just a surge for the meantime?
Oh boy, that's a $64,000 question, isn't it? I don't think that's been determined yet. I mean, it's hard to say what the end goal will be. They're trying to bring security to the country. They're trying to bring it so that you can have a governance, a central government in Afghanistan that will bring security in the country. You have to understand that most of the country doesn't even understand the concept of a central government. It's all very local. This is, you know, at least in Iraq, there was an infrastructure. There was a sense in it throughout the whole country about what a central government was. That doesn't exist here. To really define what the end goal is a big part of the problem here. And moving towards that is it's even more ambiguous, if you like. That's why the elections are so important, so you can show the American public that, look, we have achieved this. There's some sort of democracy here. But how it works out, it's not black and white here like it would be in something like Iraq.
Mike, thanks very much. And Jackie, you've talked about insurgent elements. In addition to the Taliban, there are smugglers in this area, which borders on Pakistan. So they're bringing insurgents across the border to help the Taliban, but also they're smuggling opium and all kinds of other things. And there are all kinds of corrupt officials there as well.
There's everything here, Neil. I mean, you've got, you know, the Taliban, we use the word Taliban as a sort of generic term, but my gosh, there's all sorts of Taliban here. You've got the small Taliban, the big Taliban, as they like to call them. You've got criminals who have suddenly become pious and they say that they're Taliban. You have everything here. You have all sorts of networks. When I was talking about the seven soldiers or the U.S. Service people that have lost their lives in certain parts of the country over the past 24 hours, these are all different networks that they're in, you know, whether it be the Haqqani network or whether it be, you know, all these different types of Taliban networks. You're right, there's everything here. And that's what makes this situation so difficult. You know, you've got Pakistanis coming across, you've got local people who just pick up arms for $10 a day or something like that, and who could actually be talked out of putting down their arms for, you know, a certain whatever incentive that they have.
Certain consideration.
It is a very, very difficult situation. It changes throughout the country.
Jackie Northam, thank you so much for being with us, and we've enjoyed your reports.
Thanks, Neil.
NPR correspondent Jackie Northam with us on the line from our office in Kabul. Coming up, we have GPS and Google Maps, so why do we still get lost on the way to the mall? Experimental psychologist Colin Ellard studies how we lose our way and find it. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.